morning and happy Monday to you. I'm Gary Zimek, and this is Spirit in the Morning. Glad to have you with us. We have got a fantastic show for you today. So settle down and relax. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, you have brought us to the beginning of a new day. We thank you for that. Father, you have created us, and we thank you for that. We know that you have something in mind for us to do today. You have a special task given to each one of us that you've given to nobody else. Help us know what that task is. Grant us the strength to carry it out. Father, we lift up our intentions to you this morning. Whatever it is that we worry about, we give it to you. We ask you to help us with it. And Father, we ask you to speak through us today. Send your Holy Spirit to come alive here at Holy Spirit Radio so that your word can go forth from our lips and open our minds and our hearts so that we may be able to hear your word and put it into action. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I've got a problem today. Something's wrong with my chair here, and I feel like I'm about to slide across the room. I'm also very high. Frank Elias and Dave Parker, you guys are, Frank, you were looking especially like you're up short tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave Parker.
My chair was pretty short, too.
All right, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm about to push one of these buttons. Let's see what happens. Oh, I'm slow. I thought I was going to go down all the way. Anyway, I'm much better.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking up at you.
We are back. The three of us are reunited.
Good morning.
It's been a while since the three of us have been in the studio together.
At least for the day. I'll be flying tomorrow morning, so.
Leave it to Frank.
Oh, man. So now where are you going now?
I'll be in Chicago tomorrow and then Denver.
Okay.
And then back.
All right.
Oh, but then I'm leaving on Thursday to go to Cleveland.
That is correct. I actually, I land at 2 a.m. on Thursday morning, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So I will be right back.
Well, so good to see you guys.
It's good to see
you, Mr. Parker.
Good morning,
Gary. Good morning, Frank.
How was your time off, Dave?
It was good. It was very good.
Did you get the batteries recharged at all?
I did. I was up in Erie, Pennsylvania, my hometown. And yeah, I did. I saw some old friends, and I saw high school swim coach and water polo coach. We had lunch on Wednesday. So yeah, I did work in the house, you know. Anyways,
how was the weather?
The weather was soupy. It was rain. It was hot, humid for Erie, and then it got better towards the end of the week, and then I left. But I mean, for Erie July weather, it was pretty hot. It was pretty hot, okay. You know.
But at any rate, it's good to have
always
you back.
Always very good.
We know
yeah.
you were listening because you were texting us during the show. You just can't stay away.
I can't. I love this show.
Well, we love having you be a part of this show.
Well,
I mean
thanks,
that.
Gary.
And I'm not just saying that because you're here. I say nice things when you're not here sometimes.
Sometimes.
And then I say things that aren't that nice, too, sometimes.
Sometimes.
So, anyway, couple of things. Over the weekend, I was in Cleveland. Or no, where was I? I was in Dayton.
You were Dayton.
Thank
you. Dayton.
I'm in Cleveland next weekend. I was in Cleveland over the weekend speaking at a homeschool conference, and I had the pleasure of meeting and having dinner with Jacob Popchak, the host of the Sunrise Morning
Show.
The first time me and Jacob got to hang out. He is a really cool guy.
He's a neat guy. He and I, not that long ago, we were exchanging a lot of emails. You know, if you remember, there was a movie, a Disney movie that came out, Beauty and the Beast. And there was a lot of discussion about one scene in that movie and something that basically one of the director's decisions on one of the things. Mm-hmm. But it was really interesting. That became a lot of the conversation. Okay. When you watch the movie, it became shocking because they actually, for those that don't know the movie, there's the beginning part, she goes to, in the original movie, she goes to a library to get a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of the first scene. It's a big song and all this stuff. In this version, she actually went to a Catholic church.
Wow.
And it wound up, so we had all this negative conversation about how anti-Catholic this movie is. Yet you saw this incredible crucifix.
Wow.
In this scene that took up the whole entire screen.
Wow.
So anyway, that was when it originally came out. And it was interesting. After the movie came out, the conversation kind of I went away on that negative topic, and I didn't hear anything about it. So I immediately went and Googled it when the movie came out, because I have two young girls. And so when the movie came out on video, they were watching the video, and I resaw that scene again and went, oh, yeah, whatever happened to this? Did anyone ever make light of this big piece of this movie?
Yes.
And so I immediately Googled it, and what did I do? I came up with a post that Jacob wrote. And so then Jacob and I started exchanging tons of emails just about how, you know, the artistic side of things and how you can work in this. And it was really a fascinating conversation. But, you know, he wrote this post because same thing. He saw that and was like, wait a second.
And then he didn't hear anything for a while. So he went in search of other comments. And
yeah. And so it became interesting. Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I did, which was, you know, what are people talking about? Right. And he kind of pointed it out. So I find Jacob to be a really neat guy because I got to learn. He's extraordinarily religious.
I know.
You know, but
he's really in touch with pop culture too. He really knows. He's
very
creep,
religious,
right?
Yet he's still very in touch with pop culture. It's a very interesting mix.
I think it's something like he's in the world, but not of the world. Maybe. That's what comes to mind,
as
we all should be.
It was a great way of experiencing it, and like as I learned from him and talked to him about a number of different things, you know, I learned, you know, he's extraordinarily educated. He, you know, not only does he have a theology background, he has a counseling degree. He has he's, you know, design, he's doing all kinds of other things.
Right.
You know, it's this I kind of say professional student. Yet he's a young kid. He's only 24. Wow. And I sat there going, I'm just wowed just by talking to
him. That's the impression I get. And I'm going to try to get him on the show to do some segments. Of course, the challenge is he's doing the Sunrise Morning Show at the time, so we're going to have to figure a way to get around that. But we're going to settle for Dr. Gregory Popcheck, his father, tomorrow.
Maybe another good guy.
Yeah.
Maybe Matt couldn't sit in for him. Excuse me.
Okay, Dave Parker almost killed himself here.
We went across the room.
Yeah. Hey, guys, really quickly.
I had to go get the countdown
over
cards.
The weekend. Did you hear about this concert at Dodger Stadium over the weekend? Classic West?
Nope.
No, I didn't know anything about this.
I did not either.
I think you right there when you go Classic West, it kind of went down for me.
Well, listen to this. This is amazing. I ran across this over the weekend, did not know about it, and I checked it out. It was a bunch of classic rock bands getting back
together. Oh, classic rock. All right. Yeah. I thought you were going to go into country.
No. It was because it was at Dodger Stadium, and they're going to do one on the East Coast, too, as well.
You lost him at classic.
All right, listen to this.
I'm a classic rock guy, so I'm good with classic
Steely
rock.
Dan, although one half of them got sick right before the concert. They had to call it in a last-minute replacement.
Wow.
Walter Becker got sick right before the show, so they had to replace
him. That's unfortunate.
The Doobie Brothers and the first concert of the Eagles since the death of Glenn Frey.
Wow.
Which was amazing because Vince Gill, one of my country favorites, country music superstar, is now with the Eagles filling in, as well as Deacon Frey, who is Glenn Frey's son, is singing lead on some of the songs. The videos are up on YouTube. It's really not bad. I mean, it was really cool to see that. So it's a two-day concert. That's day one. Day two, Saturday and Sunday. Day two was Fleetwood Mac, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Journey.
What? Why didn't I hear about this? Eerie, that's why.
But it was really, I didn't even know about it until it kind of brought back some memories of the 70s.
Oh, I love those bands. I love those
stadiums,
groups.
You know? So they're doing it on the East Coast, up in New York, I believe.
Are they going to come down this way at all? Maybe.
I think this is a bit, you know, these guys are old, so I don't know how it is. But even, it was really.
So what are you saying?
It was interesting.
But boy, they can still rock, right?
It was real. I mean, surprisingly good. But Don Henley was saying that may be the finale for the Eagles. But he said, in case it is, it's been great. But they've been saying that. They've been retiring for, I don't know.
They've retired, come out of retirement. Yeah.
But anyway, if you get a chance and you're into some of these groups, check it out on YouTube. Some people put some videos
up. I love the Eagles. I really do.
Yeah, they've been doing it for so many years. Mm-hmm. They just got such a good sound.
They do.
But anyway, so that was, I found that interesting this
weekend. Well, that's a good tidbit.
And now.
Thanks for sharing that, Garrett.
And now, with that in mind, let's look at the gospel.
Okay.
We don't want to miss the gospel.
It comes from
Matthew today, chapter 10, verses, beginning in verse 34. Then we go into chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's enemies will be those of this of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their town. So this is the finale of the Lord's words to his apostles, who are going to go out and share the good news. He's giving them a little pep talk before they go. And he's saying, "Guys, you're going to preach the good news, and that will bring division." The truth divides sometimes because some people don't want to hear it.
Exactly.
Right? And that's he's preparing them for what they are about to face. And I think really that's something we all have to take into consideration. Not everyone, when you talk about the teachings of Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church, not everyone that you meet is going to jump up and down and say, "Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for telling that to me."
And I think we face that in the world right now, the divided world that we're in.
No doubt.
You face it all the time when you're putting your beliefs out there, whether it be religious or anything else.
Get ready for the attack, right?
Yeah, get ready. We're like lightning rods, you know, in a storm, you know. And as soon, I mean, you never know who's gonna light you up in a way.
That's right.
You know?
And we have to be ready for that. Jesus warned his apostles about that, and he warns each one of us about it. Now, he said he's going to be with us, and that shouldn't change the truth. The truth is the truth, whether or not we like it. Now, sometimes we have to hold back a little bit. And that's why we pray for prudence and say, "Am I really supposed to say something about this?" And it's tough on social media sometimes when, as you say, you get lit up. How do you respond?
Exactly.
Right? That's right.
Frank, you said something last week about getting the last word in. Why is it that we always have to get the last word in? Why? Who said?
Maybe we're guys.
Why do I have to win the argument always?
Makes us feel better.
Ah, but sometimes it's okay to be silent.
That's right.
When we come back, Father Donald Calloway will join us to talk about some great items that he has to help you grow closer to our Blessed Mother through the Rosary. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for July 17th. Today we celebrate Saint Francis of Solano. Francis was born in 1549 into a leading family in Spain. He was named after the saint from Assisi whose intercession helped the infant's mother during labor and delivery. His patron held a strong appeal for the young popular Francis. At 20, he entered the Franciscans and enthusiastically sacrificed himself for others. His care for the sick during an epidemic drew much admiration. In 1589, Francis began missionary life in South America. Working in present-day Argentina, Bolivia, and Paraguay, he quickly learned the local languages and was well received by the native peoples. His visits to the sick often included playing a song for them on his violin. Sometimes at Christmas, he would gather the people around the crib, accompanying them as they sang hymns to the Christ child. Around 1601, Francis was called to Lima, Peru, where he urged the Spanish colonists to be true to their baptisms. In turn, he did his best to spread the gospel of Jesus by living an exemplary life. He also worked to defend the native peoples from oppression. After 2 decades of missionary service, Francis of Solano died in Lima in 1610 and was canonized in 1726. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4300. 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
And that was Give Me Jesus by Colin Ray. Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. So glad that you could join us today. We are about to spend some time with Father Donald Calloway. He is the Vicar Provincial for the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. He has been with us several times on the program, and he's here to share some exciting news about some items that will help you to grow closer to Our Lady through the Rosary. Father Calloway, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
Great to have you back on the show again. Hey, Father, you sent an email out the other day, and I don't know, maybe this is a typo. It says here that you might have 39 seminarians at the present time. Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Whoa.
It's not a typo. We are so blessed at the moment that wow. We actually almost don't have enough room to house these guys.
Praise
God. It's incredible.
That is fantastic. 39 seminarians. Wow. Father, you are well known as someone who loves Our Lady. You have written many great books on the rosary. And I do want to ask you something. I was praying my rosary on the way to the station today, and I'm going to ask you something about one of the meditations I had. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to talk about some of these new items that are being offered through your website, FatherCalloway.com, that will help these 39 seminarians.
Yeah. All the purchases really do help these guys. You know, it takes a lot of finances to feed these guys, to educate these men, and to see them, you know, on the path to the priesthood. So we put out a whole bunch of items just recently. One is a new little booklet that's on the rosary. It's how to pray the rosary, but it's not your ordinary booklet on how to pray the rosary. There's a lot of those. But this one's kind of unique. It's small enough to fit in a back pocket or go into a purse, and it gives you a little bit of the history of it, why it's important, what popes have said, what saints have said. Talks about the indulgences attached to the rosary. And so it's a really nice little booklet. It's really cheap as well. And then another book on the rosary is called 26 Champions of the Rosary. Just came out. It's hot off the press. Yeah. I'm going to be in Chicago speaking about it here in a couple days and to a big group of Catholic Marketing Network. And it's just a fantastic book. People are going to love it. Great stories about saints in that. And then also we have these beautiful canvas images, artwork that people can hang in their home or in their office, or even if you have a little chapel in your house, perfect for that. Which is Our Lady holding a sword and in one hand and a rosary in the other, and it's just a really powerful image. So we have all those available for people, and it does greatly help our 39 seminarians.
And they're available at FatherCalloway.com?
Exactly, yeah, at the website, FatherCalloway.com, and you have to spell out the father part.
Right,
and not just F, yeah.
And I will put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com. And by the way, just a personal endorsement, and we've had you on the show talking about 26 Champions of the Rosary before. That is probably the best book on the rosary that I have run across. So, I mean, good job.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It helped me, and I shared this with you before when you were on the air. Your witness and what you have said on the air when you were on our show before and what I read in that book has led to me praying not only the rosary each day, multiple rosaries, multiple mysteries of the rosary every day. So I used to pray my joyful, my sorrowful, my glorious, whatever, once a day. And Father, to be honest, it was almost like checking the box. I was missing the point. But through your work, now I am doing multiple mysteries each day and really encountering our Lady and our Lord in a new way. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. You just made my day, and my day just started. That's wonderful.
Awesome. All right, now here's a question for you. I was praying this morning, meditating upon the first joyful mystery, and thinking about, and we all know that when the Annunciation, when the angel appeared to Mary and he spoke to her, she was greatly troubled, Scripture tells us, at the words of the angel. And I think sometimes people misunderstand that and say, well, Mary was greatly troubled because she was afraid to take on this task or whatever. But Scripture is clear that she was greatly troubled by the words of the angel, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's what the angel said to her has never been said to anyone else. You know, hail, full of grace. You know, there's so much meaning in that that it's, you know, that to think that an angel, God's representative, God's spokesman, is saying that to you—that's pretty wild.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Father, let's expand this a little, and this is where my confusion comes in. I was wondering, Mary was conceived without original sin, right? And she had the faith to say yes, even when there were many details that hadn't been revealed. What do you think about Mary's fear, any fear that she would experience? I mean, because I would think if I had the perfect faith to be able to say yes to the angel, do you think Mary was ever afraid?
Well, I mean, fear is a human emotion, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And because Mary is the Immaculate Conception, she doesn't have any disorder within her reason or passions or emotions. So everything in her is working perfectly smooth, you know.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that she's not going to have emotions or experience, you know, everything that is normal. It's just hers is not going to be disordered. She's not going to be, like, questioning or doubting. Yeah. But to have fear is normal. It's not every day that you see an angel, you know. So,
yeah, right, right.
You know,
and the angel did say, "Do not be afraid." He did say, "Do not be afraid, Mary." So obviously there was some fear there.
Sure, there's going to be a startling, like, "Whoa, what's this?" and "What's being said?" But it wouldn't lead her to have doubt or anything. Unlike the father of John the Baptist,
yes,
for example.
Right.
Right. So that's how we get the contrasting story of he's like, whatever, basically, to the angel, you know.
Yeah.
And he's silent.
Exactly. And Father, and that's the point I'm trying to bring out, because, and that's what I had thought, but I just wanted to get your take on it, because sometimes you will hear people say, oh, Mary was afraid because she didn't know what was going to happen next. But because her faith was so strong, because she was able to say, yes, we can look at that and say, well, she didn't have, as you say, I would guess, that disordered fear that we have sometimes.
Right.
She trusted.
Yeah, that's, oh, great word there. Yeah, she trusted. That's a great way to put it.
Would you agree with that? That she trusted that, you know, and sometimes we are afraid for the wrong reasons. We're afraid because we don't think that the Lord will be there for us.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. And, you know, as we know, and the church says, you know, Mary, she's not God. You know, she's
right,
a creature just like us, but she's a perfect creature. And so, she doesn't have omniscience, which means she doesn't know everything. She's not God. But when she's given a message, she has trust. She has that confidence in God. And that's why praying those mysteries can help us to imitate, you know, our Lord and our Lady and having that confidence and that trust in God's plan.
Father, when you're praying the rosary and you're meditating upon the mysteries, have you ever asked Our Lady, Mary, what were you feeling?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, do you get an answer back?
Well, I mean, not an audible one, you know. But I definitely feel that I am being called to enter into, you know, her heart, you know, and it's that school, as the saints have said, you know, the praying the rosary is like going to school with Mary. She teaches you, you know, how to grow in virtue. And that's why a lot of times, you know, at the beginning of the rosary or at the end, we'll pray for an increase of faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important because Our Lady, as our mother, you know, we can enter into her heart. And just like we would with our earthly mother here, we might ask her, you know, tell me about when you met Dad, or tell me about on your marriage day, you know, what was it like? How did you feel? You know, same thing with Our Lady. You know, what were you going through during the time when our Lord was being tortured and this, that, and the other, and all those mysteries? You can do that.
Yeah, I think that's really neat, and I've just recently started to do that, and, you know, it really takes the rosary to a whole different dimension, and it draws you closer to Our Lady and ultimately closer to the Lord. So, you know, so thank you for sharing that. I really wanted to ask you that because this was something that just popped into my head today, totally unrehearsed. Sorry to put you on the spot, but I knew you would handle it well. Again, Father, I really want to thank you for coming on the show today. FatherCalloway.com is the place to go to get these amazing items, which will draw you closer to our Blessed Mother. Father, I know you're busy, but before you go, can we ask for your blessing?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless all my friends at the station and for all the listeners and their intentions and their needs, especially through the intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. We ask this blessing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Donald Calloway, thank you so much. You're always there for us when we need you. I really appreciate that, my friend.
Thanks, man. God bless you. Now, keep up the great work.
Thank you, Father. Father Donald Calloway, and you can find him online at fathercalloway.com. Check out these great items about the Rosary, 26 Champions of the Rosary. I challenge you to find a better book on the Rosary. It is phenomenal. And you'll be helping these 39 seminarians that are going through formation right now for
Beautiful.
Father's Order. When we come back, our buddy Chris Stepien, we're going to talk about dying to be happy. Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio news update. Our tragic top story this morning. Adults, teens, and children as young as two were enjoying a summer afternoon by cooling off at an Arizona creek over the weekend when the gentle waters turned deadly. A Saturday storm unleashed six-foot-high floodwaters, dark with ash from a summer wildfire, onto the unsuspecting family and friends visiting a Tonto National Forest swimming hole. Rescue crews have recovered the remains of five children and four adults, but remain searching for a 13-year-old boy. Turning our attention abroad, South Korea offered today to talk with North Korea to ease animosities along their tense border and resume reunions of families separated by their war in the 1950s. It's unclear if North Korea would agree to the proposed talks, as it considers Seoul's policy still requiring the North to disarm. Seoul's proposal for two sets of talks indicates, though, that President Moon Jae-in is pushing to improve ties with Pyongyang. And Pope Francis is weighing in and joining his prayers with the people of Venezuela, renewing his prayer for what he referred to as this beloved country. More than 7 million Venezuelans cast symbolic votes over the weekend, rejecting President Nicolas Maduro's plan to retool the constitution in a strong but not overwhelming showing that left the opposition facing tough choices 2 weeks before the socialist leader seeks to reshape the political system. The country's bishops also oppose Maduro and what they say is his attempt to establish a Marxist military dictatorship. As humanitarian needs rise along with political conflict, the Italian Bishops' Conference has pledged to contribute €500,000 to combat food, health, and safety concerns in that country. With this Holy Spirit Radio news update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
The Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition Celebrate Life 5K Run and 2K Walk is Saturday, July 29th at Peace Valley Park in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. The race is at 9 a.m. and the walk will follow. You can register by mail until July 19th, online until July 25th at PretzelCitySports.com. There is a nominal fee for online registration. Or on race day, starting at 7:30 a.m. Celebrate Life with the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition, July 29th. Peace Valley Park.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Mary DeTouris Paust was a multitasker used to mindlessly eating breakfast while reading emails on her laptop. Then, while on a retreat that didn't allow reading, writing, or talking, she was confronted by the dilemma of what else to do during mealtime. That incident forced Mary to eat mindfully, even prayerfully, paying attention to each bite of food and how it tasted. It also led to her book, Cravings, A Catholic Wrestles with Food, Self-Image, and God. Mary explained to me, "I took everything off the table, lit a candle, and started to pray before I ate oatmeal. Now I talk about it as my mindful oatmeal, and I still try to do that practice every day, to do everything with that sense of reverence. It makes you full, not just in a physical way, but in a spiritual way." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Complain, but right now I'm lost and I can't find my way. My world's come apart and it's breaking my heart, but it helps to know that your heart is breaking too. When I cry, you cry. When I hurt, you hurt. And when I've lost someone, it takes a piece of you too. And when I fall on my face, you fill me with grace. 'Cause nothing breaks your heart or tears you apart like when I cry. dark, facing my hands, crying out to you. Lord, there's never been a time in my life. There's so much at stake. There's so much to lose. But I trust it to you. And it helps me to know that I'm not alone. When I cry, you cry. When I hurt, you hurt. When I've lost someone, it takes a piece of you too. And when I fall on my face, you fill me with grace. 'Cause nothing breaks your heart. Nothing breaks your heart or tears you apart like when I cry.
And that was When I Cry by the Gaither Vocal Band. I love that song. Love that message. You know what? The Lord hears us when we cry. He hears us all the time. So if you're crying out today, know that Jesus hears and feels your pain, and he's not going to desert you. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Every month, we are joined by author Chris Stepien. He's written a book called Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. If you knew today was your last day, what would you do? Once again, our friend Chris Stepien joins us. Hey, brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. We made another day.
Hey, we did. Praise God, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so many times, Chris, we wake up, we start complaining, it's too hot, I'm tired, I don't like my job. We do all that before we say, hey, Lord, thanks for letting me wake up.
No other better way to wake up than to wake up grateful.
Amen. Amen. Hey, today we're going to be going in, continuing our look at your book, which, by the way, if you're listening at home and you have not picked up a copy of Dying to Be Happy, you need to get this book. One of the best books, Chris, that I have ever written, and I'm not, that I've ever written, one of the books that I've ever read, and I'm not just saying it because you're on the show. You're on the show because this book blew me away.
Well, you know, life blows us away.
Yep.
And I had some things happen in my life that blew me away, and I felt compelled to share them. So our only hope is that we can help to be a channel for God's truth and peace. And so I had an experience, and I thought I should share this with other people because it affected me in such a profound way. Sometimes it takes us a long time to realize things.
Yeah, it does.
To really come to understand Scripture.
Right.
And there's always something fresh, no matter how many times we read it or hear it.
Yeah. Let's talk today about the encounter with Jesus and the rich young man. We've all heard this story. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we've heard it so many times that we tend to let it go in one ear and out the other. We've got this rich young man goes up to Jesus and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's that all about? Are his intentions in the right place?
I certainly think they were. He wanted to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, the scripture says that the Lord loved him. That, you know, he must have felt some compassion for him.
Yeah.
Because he thought, oh, my friend, now you've asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've asked me a question. And yes, the law, following the laws of God, are important.
Mm-hmm.
What is the essential understanding of that? It is the fact that we must free ourselves from the burden of the world. That's what God was laying out in the Ten Commandments. You know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. Don't lie. Don't tie yourself down with all these heavy burdens. And so after he tells the young man, you know, obey the Ten Commandments, the young man's gleeful. He says, well, I've been doing that since I was a kid.
Yeah. And I think that's the neat part of this story. He said, okay, good. I'm doing that. I'm great. But you know what I think's neat, Chris? The fact that he went on. I mean, I guess this shows his sincerity. He went on and said, all right, I'm doing all that. What else do I need to do? Which is a dangerous question.
Always. Because God is going to ask you for something that's counter to our culture.
Yeah.
It's just to the human condition. He's going to ask us something revolutionary. He's going to ask us to change our lives in ways that we never imagined. And what we don't realize is that thing that he's asking us to do is actually going to free us. It's radical, but it's going to liberate us. We're going to say, why was I hanging on to all this for so long?
Exactly.
I mean, you did it. You did it. You walked away from your former life to do what you're doing now, and it has its challenges, but it's rewarding beyond measure, right?
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, there are a lot of challenges there, some of which I didn't even realize until I was into this this new life. But you know what? I would never trade it. I would never trade it. Chris, I think it's interesting when we look at the response of Jesus, feeling love for him. The Lord threw him a lifeline of truth, as you put it in the book, and says, you are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, after you've done that, come follow me. You know what? I would have been blown away. I probably would have run in the other direction because that's a little bit too painful for me.
Right. Pow, right in the wallet.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that this is the thing that, what is the expression? Give till it hurts.
Yep.
Right? What? Give till it hurts. And think about it. When you have surgery, oftentimes things are removed. You're cut. There's a bloodletting. There's a purging. That you lance a wound. And, you know, Scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because if you really want, and so he says, well, I'm obeying the law, but that bacteria, that microorganism of evil is still in you. Until we get rid of those things that are weighing us down, we're going to tend to repeat our bad habits. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, and he married Lady Poverty. It was a metaphor for the idea, you know, the paradoxes of Scripture, if you will, that you have strength through weakness, for example. The idea that he even said, if we have possessions, then we're going to need laws, back to that concept of laws like commandments, then we're going to need laws to protect and defend them. You know, if we deny someone who has need greater than ours some of our possessions, we're stealing from them. It is an entirely upside-down view of the world,
which is
what should tell us that it's true, because the world sells us things all the time,
right?
And then the promises don't come through, right? We fail. They fail. Like, why didn't this work out this way? Well, I started this business and I'm overworking, or I have this job and I worked all those extra hours, and then my family isn't working so well. You know what I mean? We're investing in, like Jesus said, it's a key thing that you brought. I'm glad you read that scripture verse, because he says, you will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. In other words, put the money in the heavenly bank. Put the riches, put the heavenly riches in the savings account, then come and follow me. Whole different concept. Well, we would worry about, my bank account's getting lean.
Exactly.
I'm in trouble. Well, no, how's your heavenly treasure?
Right.
Because ultimately, you're going to walk away from all of it anyway. You're going to, when you die, you're going to leave it behind.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's what we have to remember. And that's the easiest thing for us to lose sight of on a daily basis. Like, hey, this is temporary. Like, what's more important? And the Lord never said that we don't have material needs. He understands that. But he said, put your heavenly needs first, right? Build up heavenly treasure. I want to run something by you. And then this is something that when I first heard this, it really blew me away, and I had to think about it. I was having dinner with a priest one time, and he said, we constantly thank the Lord for our material blessings, the money we have in the bank, our possessions, our cars, our houses, which is a good thing to be grateful for those things. But he said to me, are they really blessings, or in a sense, are they obstacles or curses even? Mm-hmm. Because these things that we have, even though we should be grateful for them, they can sometimes distract us and put obstacles between us and the Lord. What do you think about that?
I think it's spot on. I mean, if you think about it, they are blessings. You know, do we have the car that we need, or do we have the car that we want?
Yeah.
Do we have the food that we need, or do we have the food that we want? You know, Jesus fulfilled need. When you were just mentioning that Jesus understands need, well, look at the loaves and the fishes, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, time and again, the wine at the wedding of Cana. And so that you might even regard the wine at the wedding of Cana as a luxury, mm-hmm. right? And, mm-hmm. and he responded to the intercession, if you will, of his mother. The point is, however, that there's a difference between need and want. Yeah. And we can become addicted to things, and they become important. They become idols in our lives. Like the fellow, one of the fellows I mentioned in this chapter, Lady Poverty, Chapter 6, is Eric Maul. He was a football player, pro football player. He idolized himself, he said, because he wanted to make the National Football League. Mm. And it wasn't until he was actually cut, he prayed to be cut later by the New York Jets, and when he was cut, then he eventually sold all his possessions and went out and had a devout spiritual life and lived with the poor on the homeless on the streets of Cleveland for a year. He said it was one of the happiest times of his life. Speaking of dying to be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is we have to realize what is nourishment and what is gluttony, what is transportation and what is an idol. It goes across everything we do. Are we looking to God? Are we building that, as you said, that treasure in heaven?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe it. We only have about 5 seconds left. Chris Stepien, you brought it again, brother.
Well, no, you set me up.
Hey, man.
Thanks, Chris.
You throw those softballs.
I love these segments. Thanks again, brother. Talk to you next time. Chris Stepien, the book is Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. We'll put information on spiritofthemorning.com so you can get this book when we come back. Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims, where safety and comfort are the foundations upon which our grandfathers built the company. We provide 24/7 emergency service in plumbing, furnace, and air conditioning repair, proudly serving Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square, as well as southern and eastern Lancaster County. If you are having an emergency with any of these systems, call Summers and Zims at 610-593-5129 or visit our website at sumzim.com, and we will gladly help you return to full operation.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but the sword." He cautions that one's enemies will be in one's very household. "Whoever loves family more than me is not worthy of me," he says. "Nor is one who refuses to take up his cross. No middle ground here." Then he says, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." Here we have a clear example of our Lord's intention to continue his mission through his church. Whoever receives you receives me. He will remain present in the world through his apostles and their successors. The church will be rocked by strife and even martyrdom, not to mention scandal. But he remains with her and through her offers his cross to whoever will follow. And the cross in our lives leads us directly to him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Sorry. La, 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 la. Your smile's always shining out, and they know what it's all about.
It's not hard for them to figure out the way you show Jesus. You know love is what they heard, and you didn't even say a word. Ain't it funny, that's the way it works. So when you know Jesus,
and welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Show Jesus by Jamie Grace. Something we all want to do today, show Jesus to those around us in the world. Let's take a look at your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from, today it comes from the book of Tobit, chapter 14, verse 2. Tobit was 58 years old when he lost his sight, and after 8 years, he regained it. Why do I include that in my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living? It's because of this. How many times have you asked for something repeatedly? Lord, I need this. Next day, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Over and over and over. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Eventually, you get to the point where you say, that's it. I guess you don't want me to have it. Here's what you need to remember. Look at this story. Tobit's 58 years old when he lost his sight, and after 8 years, he regained it. What happened if Tobit stopped praying after 1 year, after 2 years, after 3 years? You know, we hear this story, the message, the same message, repeated countless times in the Bible, the finding in the temple. Jesus was lost. The Blessed Mother and St. Joseph don't know where he is. They found him after 3 days. What if they stopped looking? The woman who was healed from a hemorrhage after 12 years, going to all kinds of doctors, lost all her money, she kept seeking out Jesus. And eventually she knew that if I just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. So my advice to you is If you feel you need something and you're praying about it, whatever you do, don't stop. Don't stop until the Lord says no, or until you suddenly realize, you know what, I don't feel I need this anymore. Because sometimes that happens too. Sometimes the Lord delays giving you what he wants because he knows that, number one, you don't need it, and number two, you're going to realize eventually, hey, you know what, I don't really need this or want this anymore. But please, don't stop. When he says no, then it's time to stop. Because he'll do that sometimes. He'll say, no, this isn't good for you. But take an example from Tobit in this passage. Tobit 14:2. He was 58 years old when he lost his sight, and after 8 years, he regained it. And that's your Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. Boy, that's tough to keep to do,
is.
Right?
You know,
keep praying for something even though you don't feel like God's listening to you?
It is, but you know, oftentimes we, you know, there's things around us that are telling us to do that, you know, here's what you need or here's what you and we don't even see those signs sometimes.
Exactly.
And I think that that's something that you have to be open to, whatever that may mean. Good or bad. And I think that's still tough to do. You know,
it is.
Yesterday, you know, just a quick shout out to Monsignor Ritchie, who is getting ready to leave St. John's, someone we've been very close to over the years. Many of our listeners would know him when he was Mary, Mother of the Redeemer. He's been at St. John the Evangelist for the past 7 years, and he's getting ready to leave. And, you know, we've always wanted to see him involved with the station. I would love to see that. You know, but how do you broach this? How do you get into this topic sometimes? And for my wife, she was, you know, getting ready to talk to him. We've known him for a long time. And, you know, someone said something beforehand. He was explaining all the different things he's doing. Yet she felt inspired to say, if you do want to add one more thing.
right.
We have the perfect thing for you.
That's right. And now that you're leaving this. And so, but, you know, it was the right moment. And, you know, that moment doesn't always present itself. You know, we don't always see those things. Yet that was one time where she did.
I was going to say about Tobit, 8 years being blind. I mean, a lot of us, I mean, he had patience, and we get into this poor me. We start thinking, oh, I'm never going to get it. And then we get depressed.
Yeah.
Or we can get depressed.
Right.
I mean, and
right.
We focus on ourselves and not on our faith.
Yeah, we do. And we can just lose hope. And hope is what keeps us going. So we always want to keep going with that. Before I forget, I want to do a quick look at the weather. Currently 73 degrees at the Philadelphia International Airport. Today we're going to have a slight chance of showers, thunderstorms, high near 87. Tonight, once again, chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low around 72. Tomorrow, I mean, this forecast, I could just cut and paste this from one day to the next.
You could say ditto.
Yes, high near 89 tomorrow, but it's summer. That's what happens.
You could say ditto, you know,
during the summer. Hey, before we go off the air, Frank, I want to circle back, and we were talking about Jacob Popcheck at the start of the show, and the fact that I had dinner with him over the weekend while I was in Dayton, Ohio. The amazing thing about Jacob, and I wanted to make sure we make this point, is that as cool of a guy he is, and he's someone who's really in touch.
He's a 24-year-old. He's extraordinarily.
He's hip.
He's all into art, and he's all into a wide range of things.
Right. The cool thing about Jacob, and you know this, and he just kept saying this over and over again, but whatever, no matter what, I always listen to the church. I believe right down the middle. If the church says it's true, I believe it.
And, well, I believe he has one of his degrees. I think he has multiple degrees, if I remember correctly, from Steubenville.
He does.
And, you know, he is extraordinarily, you know, understands the magisterium, the history, the all aspects of the faith, yet is able to connect it. And this, I don't necessarily think, always comes through in the Sunrise Morning Show, but he's able to connect it to everyday things. And, you know, that's what I like when I was using the Beauty and the Beast example is we don't always see that. Even as someone who talks about this and, you know, obviously involved in the station and all that stuff, I don't always see it. He sees it in all kinds of different things. And maybe it's because of all the education he's had. Maybe it's because of his life experiences. But it's quite fascinating to me.
I was going to say real quick, you said the history, art history, but the Catholic Church is rich
in history.
A lot of us don't know that or come to know that.
But the point is, we all, and that great points, and the point I did want to make is that it's okay to be in the world and know what's going on in the world, but mm-hmm. always let's rely on the church. Church knows what she's doing. She's been at this for a long time, and Christ founded the church. And it's really great to see somebody young who gets that.
Exactly. And the fact that he, I think in his career, he's going to be able to bring that to the younger people and bring back people into the faith.
We need more guys like that. Well, it's about time for us to run. You know what I always tell you, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. On behalf of Dave Parker, Frank Eliason, and everyone here at Holy Spirit Radio, I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for listening. God bless you.